This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The hour, it's Monday, October the 12th. This is the DJV program. Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keith, and Doug Steffen being heard for the first time on KFOW AM and FM in Waseca, I believe is how you pronounce Waseca, W-A-S-E-C-A, Minnesota, far from where my sister lives. Her accent has changed. You know, we were teasing earlier about Boston accents, Victoria, and how it sounds when somebody is, you know, with whatever accents. We have southern accents, we have midwestern accents, but there's something about a Minnesotan that is very unique, and you can always tell, listen to people on the phone, where they're calling from, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that the Midwest. I think the Midwest doesn't get a lot of attention in the
Minnesota has,
but they do. And I hear Midwest because my dad's side of the family was from Illinois and Wisconsin, yeah. And so I can kind of hear that. And Minnesota certainly, it's I think more pronounced than other places.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Waseca, welcome to the DJV program. Hearing today as we move forward to try to figure out who the next person will be in the Supreme Court, Victoria.
Probably, yeah, the hearing starts this morning, actually, in the Senate Judiciary Committee. The committee is comprised of 10 Democrats and 12 Republicans, and this whole week will be pretty much dedicated to the committee process for Amy Coney Barrett, who has been nominated by President Trump to take the spot of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The way it's going to work this week is that today you're going to hear opening statements from Lindsey Graham, who's the chairman of the committee, and Dianne Feinstein, who's the ranking member of the committee. You'll also hear the opening statements of all 22 senators that sit on that committee. And then you'll hear the opening statement from Amy Coney Barrett, who is expected to kind of talk about her allegiance to Antonin Scalia, who was, of course, one of the best friends of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She clerked for Scalia, and a lot of her career she kind of devotes to him and what he taught her when she was clerking. So he will definitely have a presence in her opening remarks today. She's also expected to say that the role of a jurist is not to write policy, it's to apply the law to policy, which I think is pretty important for people who are going to be watching this. And it's going to look a little different because of COVID. There are some senators who will be in person, others will be available via Skype. So they did this kind of as a you choose it. Amy Coney Barrett will be in the room, Lindsey Graham will be in the room. That's all we know for sure. We know Kamala Harris has said that she's going to be on Zoom from her office, so it'll be interesting to see which senators actually come in person.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about Scalia. There was a time when he was on the bench that there were five conservative right wing, right side, whatever you, however you want to describe, and there was never a movement to get rid of, at least in my recollection, Roe v. Wade. So why would that, if she's sort of following in his footsteps, and that's what she's selling.
That's why I'm telling you, it's settled law. And so as long as the law was appropriately applied, which it has been tested before in the Supreme Court, I don't expect her to overturn Roe versus Wade. I think people leading up to that idea are kind of trying to fearmonger a bit. Here's the thing. I think abortion is wrong, and I think it's murder. But this is settled law. And so she can have those same feelings that I do, that without changing the law of the country. I mean, the most important statement that she can make today is that she's going to apply the law, not make the law. That should be extremely important to people who are watching this and who are concerned about that, because if it is already settled law, then it's already been tested, and I don't see a reversal anywhere.
But the problem, though, is that there are 17 or something like that different cases that are challenging that are heading to the Supreme Court. So it's not like the Supreme Court can't just one day decide, we're going to just revisit Roe v. Wade. Obviously, it doesn't work that way. But all of those cases coming from other states where abortion has been called into question, those cases will end up at the Supreme Court.
To go on the docket,
right.
All 17
well,
are
but
on the
schedule. What I'm getting one at step is that, away from being there.
Right.
And
what
so
I'm getting at is that that's
could
happened.
Could change that.
That has happened before. Roe v. Wade has been tested before in the Supreme Court, and it survived because of the way that it was implemented. It has nothing to do with whether or not you think abortion is right or wrong. It's about how the law was written, and is it constitutional? And so that's what we have to remember.
That's
is
what
that
they
people,
have to decide. Is it right. constitutional or not constitutional?
Well, right. but that's everyone's individual interpretation of the law. That's where it gets into the murky waters. That's what people are afraid of.
But what you've heard from, what you've heard from Amy Coney Barrett is that she will apply the law. She will not be an activist judge. I think, and I hate to say it to make it more political, but I really believe that this is true because the left really likes activist judges. They assume that people
so
on
the right.
No, the right does
that's
not like
not,
activist
judges. Then, Jen, what's okay. the point of Mitch McConnell putting 300 judges on?
We like originalists. And that's what conservatives like. That's when you're considered to be a conservative judge. Look at John Roberts. He's a conservative, and yet time and time again, he sides with people who are considered to be more liberal judges because that's what he thinks of applying the law. Justice Kavanaugh, same thing, has raised
eyebrows
about this.
Why is that news? Why shouldn't it be part of the law that they do consider things that way and not all this damn politicking?
Well, if the right doesn't like activist judges, then what is the point of Mitch McConnell doing this and Trump saying blatantly multiple times that they are stacking the court with quote-unquote conservative judges?
But what I'm trying to explain to you is that the conservative judges...
Well, that's what
as we,
I think that's
as
your
we
explanation.
Talk, as we talk to the conservative judges, we talk to them about being originalists that believe that the Constitution is not a living, breathing document. We believe that it's the law of the land. And so conservative justices believe that. It's not necessarily about gay marriage and about abortion. That's something that gets skewed in
the media.
None
of those things were in the original Constitution. That's where it
gets. But it's about the law. But it's about the law applying to them. In the Constitution, you can change the law. That's not the issue. You can change and add amendments, and we see that happen all the time. Does it stick? Is that law written in application, in cohesion with the laws of the Constitution? And so far, everybody, every time Roe v. Wade was tested, it passed.
So I'm aware of a new word here, originalist. I never heard that expression.
Well, that's
before.
What a conservative justice is. It's not about somebody who votes for George Bush and Donald Trump. A conservative judge, a conservative justice is someone who's an originalist.
Is that what do they swear to that on a Bible someplace? Or how do we know that?
That's what they're called, and that's what I am. I'm an originalist.
Yeah,
right,
well,
but
yes, you are.
But part of the problem, though, and a lot of legal experts have said, the part of the problem with originalists is that the Roe v. Wade, gay marriage, a lot of voting rights were not in the original Constitution, and
right.
so originalist judges can say that, oh well, you know, I'm an originalist, and I stick with the Constitution.
But that's
the Constitution
activist.
Stands in no, but that
there's a
what
really
I'm saying
fine
though
difference.
Is originalists stand in opposition to what is actually has been changed in the Constitution.
No,
so there are multiple, you know, briefs written on this.
I promise that they don't. They don't stand in opposition to new changes.
Well,
no, they don't. They don't.
Right,
originalists.
So we got the two
that's
sides.
That's not actually accurate.
Got it. All right. So here's Mayor Garcetti in Los Angeles, one of the worst in not only the history of Los Angeles, probably the worst mayor in the country at the moment. And may go down in history as one of the worst.
Bill de Blasio are neck and neck in that.
Yeah, right. For being horrible in a nation's two biggest cities. How do we, you know, it's a microcosm. What's going on? These two guys running for president are the best we have? I don't think so. And the mayor of New York and Los Angeles, they're a couple of minor
and this
league.
My mayor, Garcetti, wanted to be president. It was when he realized he wasn't going to get any traction that he jumped on the Joe Biden campaign. He's a spokesperson for him now, but he's, ridiculous. We have a huge homeless problem in California, in Los Angeles.
What do you refer to as horse poop? Right?
Homeless people.
Horse poop.
Right.
Wait, what?
He called them horse blank.
Horse.
Okay.
Schitt's Creek. Horse Schitt's Creek. How's that? Mm-hmm. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
which I think is amazing because he's gotten all this money that was through propositions and local measures that were supposed to fix the homeless problem. And you know what he's done? He's created homeless housing. There were supposed to be 10,000 homeless housing units set up by right now. We passed a ballot measure 2 years ago. There are 238, not 10,000. And the average cost, you'll love this one because you guys watch The Pork like I do. The average cost, if you just average out what they've spent on those 238 houses, $745,000.
Unbelievable how we get away, how these people get away with this kind of pricing for this stuff. It just, how do we get to the bottom? That would be a great debate question. How do we limit? Nobody asks the practical questions like, okay, Mr. Biden, how are you going to get rid of waste, fraud, corruption, and abuse in your new government? What are you going to do? That's it. Ask both of them, because Trump was going to drain the swamp, and he didn't. As a matter of fact, there's an argument
swampier
you can make.
Swampier than ever.
When you exactly look at the likes of Purdue, Sonny Purdue. Here's another flat-footed boob that is running the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
At least he hasn't made his living in government. I mean, if you're worried about the swamp,
well, yeah,
he's making a living off the government now, so I don't
years.
Know which one's better.
He's been accused of violations of the Hatch Act.
Yeah.
What did he do, Victoria? What is his? What happened? Politically taking the farmers' stuff, the aid, and saying thanks. Vote for Trump because he made sure you got all this aid. Well, if that's the case, you're going to get three votes from farmers because they're all PO'd about where the money actually went. So it shows this guy's not very smart, actually. But when he keeps calling attention to all of the aid to farmers, families, the food box program, farmers. In the main, at least the ones that I know, the ones I was talking to this weekend at the auction that I went to, they're really angry now understanding where all this money, two-thirds of the money that was supposed to go to aid farmers didn't go to any farmers at all. And
big
so,
ag businesses, golf courses,
yeah, right.
Family members who own shares in those businesses. It was a mess.
If you want to check it out, the Wall Street Journal has a great review of all of this stuff. As a matter of fact, weren't they the ones who broke the story on the Hatch Act violations for Sonny Perdue? So he could go to
yes, they were, and they also were the ones who broke down because those payments are public knowledge. I mean, that's you know, the Freedom of Information Act is how they got all of that. So anyone can look it up, and you can see the exact amount that went to each individual because it has to be public knowledge. And
Jennifer,
it's pretty disgusting, really, when you look at it.
Yeah, where are we on the debates? We having a debate, not a debate, inside, outside.
Week, there'll be a debate on the 22nd.
Do
this
it,
week's
where
debate
is
canceled.
This week's debate.
Yeah, this week's canceled. They're going to do, Trump's going out on the road. He's doing rallies every day. Biden's going to do a town hall, I think, on ABC, if I'm not mistaken, on the debate night.
Yeah, I think it is ABC, yeah.
And then they'll be back next week for a real in-person debate.
All right. Let's take you into the world of weight loss now. Jennifer and I, Victoria and I were talking about this earlier. Jennifer likes them because they help her go to sleep. Do you have lots of things buzzing around in your head like sugar plums just before Christmas? Is that something every night? Because now with you? Yes, no, no. Yes, yes.
Nope,
no,
Jen's gone. Nope.
Yes. All right.
So no.
Yeah. Well, this is if you do have that problem. It's another benefit of using Calitrin. It's, by golly, the way to lose weight, but also is a non-toxic way to help you when it comes to taking a good night's rest, when it comes to exercising, because the main ingredient, what were you saying earlier, Victoria, that some teenagers
collagen.
Stop with the collagen when they're 19 years old. Your body stops making it.
Yeah, between 19 and 20 years old, you stop producing collagen, and that is what keeps you youthful looking. And that's what, when you start to get those fine lines and wrinkles setting in deeper, that's the lack of collagen that your body doesn't have anymore to plump you back up again. So taking collagen supplements, it's good for your insides, and it's definitely good for your outsides, too.
All natural Calitrin. No stimulants, no drugs, none of that stuff. For those of you new to the program, help yourself to a sure-fired way, guaranteed way. Start the process. Stay on it for, I actually think 180 days is good because in the 90-day process, you lose the weight. Next 90 days, you train your body to keep it off. That's what you want. So check it all out, will you please, at toploss.com. Make sure on checkout to use the DJV code in order to not have to pay for shipping, in order to get the best deal. But I think going forward, when many people, not everybody, but many people like me, Jennifer, Victoria, will get on the program and stay on it because there are so many other side benefits to this. Check it out. Check the sales at toploss.com. Again, on checkout, use the code DJV. It's 21 after the hour.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
I've loved this song, Victoria. It's 23 at the hour.
I don't know this song, but okay.
You don't like it?
I don't know it. Never
heard.
Oh.
All right, Garfunkel, voicing the audiobook for the memoir of one of his closest friends who lost his sight in their second year of college. Garfunkel was friends with Sanford Greenberg at Columbia when he lost his vision because of illness. Garfunkel helped him navigate his college years and is now reading Greenberg's memoir, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, How Daring Dreams and Unyielding Friendship Turned One Man's Blindness into an Extraordinary Vision for a Life. I would like to see that.
This
like
book sounds incredible.
It does sound, yeah.
The story behind this is amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to have him come on and tell some of it on the air. This book follows his time from Columbia to Harvard to Oxford, through a White House fellowship and a career as an entrepreneur and an innovator. Garfunkel also wrote the introduction to the book. Features foreword from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, afterward by Margaret Atwood. Garfunkel features in the book and has said in a press release, "I was so deeply touched to read Sanford's treatment of me in this magnificent book. I blush to find myself within his dimension. My friend is my gold standard of decency." Greenberg added, "All those years ago, Arthur Garfunkel read my textbooks aloud to me, helping me forge ahead in my darkest hours. Now he's giving another gift by reading my story for everybody else to hear." That tells you a lot about who
the
guy is.
Right?
Doesn't it?
It
yeah.
really does. I mean, not only was Art Garfunkel at Columbia.
Greenberg, I'm talking about Garfunkel.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Not only was he also a student at Columbia and had to deal with that rigorous academic schedule, but to take the time to read textbooks to his friend, it's really amazing.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of good in the world and we don't focus on it enough. Bon Jovi up now, 25 and change after the hour on the DJV program. He's one of the musical guests on Ellen. Last week he was on performing the song Beautiful Drug from the new Bon Jovi album, on a makeshift stage surrounded by carpeting and draped curtains. The band played a socially distanced rendition of this song, which celebrates the power of love through the darkest of times. Beautiful Drug. Crank this up. We'll get to it for a second. Like a couple of the songs on Beautiful Drug finds John Bon Jovi getting topical about the current situation in America. Last month he previewed 2020, which is the name of the album, with the single Do What You Can, with music video featuring Bon Jovi walking around a deserted New York City during COVID, the earlier lockdowns. He later duetted with Sugarland singer Jennifer Nettles on a new version of the song. John said, as I finished the mix, I did the video for the album version. I said, well, this song would have such crossover potential. Jennifer was my first choice. She said, yes. They previously scored on number one country hit 2005 with Who Says, Yeah, I Can't Go Home. Let's crank this one. So is Bon Jovi, can he get away with being a country act?
Well, he did for this song, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I kind of feel like a lot of his solo stuff had almost a John Mellencamp kind of vibe to it,
really?
Which this song also has a Mellencamp-y kind of vibe to me. So he kind of towed that line of a little bit country on his solo stuff.
Bon Jovi is a softer, sort of sweeter sort. That's the read I get on it.
Yeah.
Not Mellencamp's tough cookie. I don't.
But his sound, though.
Yeah, like no, that, I guess,
it's not real country, but it's country-esque.
It's a blend, if you will. All right, so there's our musical quotient for this hour on the DJV program. Every hour at this time, we've got focus on some music. It's 28 after the hour now.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This report is sponsored by Humana. People with Medicare need to make an important decision in the coming weeks. As the Medicare Advantage and Prescription Drug Plan annual election period is here, running from October 15th through December 7th. Selecting a Medicare plan can seem overwhelming, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. But eligible individuals can still research plan options safely to ensure they make the right decision for their health needs. Jeff Fernandez is with Humana.
Well, it's common to have many questions. There are resources to help you choose the plan that's right for you without having to leave home, including informational websites, virtual educational events, and one-on-one virtual meetings with licensed health insurance agents. This will allow people with Medicare to gather the information they need to choose a Medicare plan safely and securely during this annual election period, which runs through December 7th.
For more information, visit Medicare.gov or Humana.com/Medicare.
You probably don't think very often about support for your brain, but you should. Join the millions of people supporting their brain function with America's most popular brain supplement, Prevagen. In a clinical trial, a subgroup of adults with mild, age-related cognitive impairment taking only one Prevagen a day were shown to improve in measures related to memory. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or...
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Senate Judiciary Committee begins the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Democratic Vice Presidential candidate Kamala Harris serves on the Judiciary Committee and will participate remotely in the hearings. Iram Sasser, Executive Counsel at First Liberty, tells us what we can expect in these hearings.
I'm sure there will be a spectacle that some people will try to create, but in reality, it really should be almost perfunctory.
The presidential candidates hitting the road this Monday, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden with two campaign stops in the battleground state of Ohio. Meanwhile, President Trump having his first campaign rally since his COVID-19 diagnosis, the president traveling to Florida, where polls show him losing to Biden. This is USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
New York City's Columbus Day Parade today will be held all virtual, another annual tradition that has been altered by the ongoing pandemic. The grand marshals of this year's parade are Dr. Anthony Fauci and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. In recent years, a collection of cities and states have chosen to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous People Day, including Minnesota, Vermont, and San Francisco. As far as what people get wrong about Christopher Columbus, Dr. Robert Royal tells Fox News,
"Look, if your kids have gone to public schools for the past couple of decades, the two phrases they probably learned about Columbus is one, that he was a genocidal maniac, which of course no historian really believes, or that he was worse than Hitler. Now, Hitler killed 40 million people and then actually did try a genocide against the Jews. He killed 6 million Jews in Europe. So these comparisons are ridiculous, but they have been part of our educational system for decades. And that's one of the reasons why these young people, you see them stomping on statues of Christopher Columbus, because, and I don't even blame them, because they've been taught that he's some sort of monster."
According to a source familiar with the NFL's scheduling scenarios, when the league decided Sunday not to play the Broncos and Patriots on Monday night, they debated an indefinite postponement, which would essentially have put the Week 18 scenario in play. NFL games are having to be postponed due to positive COVID-19 tests. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
It is 34 after the hour. Doug Steffen with Victoria Keelan here in this half hour of the DJV program. Today is National Farmers Day. This rings a bell with me in so many different ways. The profession of farming goes back 12,000 years, Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
The domestication of livestock, hunter-gatherers settling in to figure out, you know, you wonder sometimes where the first seeds came from, that kind of stuff. Where'd corn, that was the original. And then you look at the little carrot seeds you can plant and the little beet seeds, you know, these little things. Where do they come from? And where did they first come? It's kind of like a lot of other things. I was talking philosophically about the universe earlier on and where these things come from. Where do they come from? How'd they start? A lot of research has been done. The farmer, I don't think, thinks about that. The farmer thinks about growing as much food as possible to feed as many people as possible, and we'll leave it at that. Farmers have, you know, when you think about where would we be without farmers, it's kind of a silly question because we wouldn't be here without people to grow food. Now, there were a lot of people along the way who have learned how to feed themselves, relying on themselves, and that used to be part of why America was as strong as it was, because we had mostly farmers, mostly people, dudes who were raising their own crops to survive and had an animal or two, that sort of thing. This is a day when we think about, it used to be called Old Farmer's Day. No, National Farmers Day is much better than Old Farmers Day. There are old farmers and there are young farmers, and we need to celebrate them all. The date of October 12th came about as it lands at the end of the traditional harvesting season, certainly in the northern climes, so farmers can participate in festivities. I know we have agritourism that's getting to be big around here, Victoria.
It's big everywhere.
Farmers. Yeah.
Agritourism is becoming a real thing, and I think it's great. People and families especially, you know, getting to visit a local farm and learn about what's growing there. And
yeah,
I think it's wonderful for the kids. You know, I hate to sound old, but, like, get off the video games already.
Yeah, it does sound old. Good. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, you know. Congratulations. You've made me an old person.
Yes, I have. I've matured you. I think that's a better way of
you just made me old.
No, really. All right, so anyway, we all know scientific developments in farming techniques have come along. Some of the new... I wouldn't buy a new tractor. I was at this farm auction over the weekend. There was a John Deere tractor there for sale, and it had a computer screen on the side of it. And I looked at a friend of mine. I said, how can you buy a tractor that is basically nothing but a computer on wheels? How do you do that? I'm not going to buy stuff. It requires you not to think. Everything, you push a button and that's what it is. And some people say, well, it makes farming better. No, it doesn't. No. Anytime you take somebody's brain out of figuring out how to do stuff and you leave it to a machine, I think we've lost, frankly. We're in the year 2525 already.
Does it make it faster?
It makes it more efficient. So I suppose in a manner of speaking, faster is one of the things they'd sell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fast. But you can't, the new tractors, farmers, one of the things that I pride myself in is the ability to fix pretty much everything that's wrong with all my equipment. These new tractors, they're all computerized. You can't figure out how to fix them. They don't want you to fix them.
It's kind of like, send a person to you or you have to haul it?
At $90 an hour. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they'll send you a person, all right. So, no.
I prefer the Tesla where all of your mechanical upgrades are just done with an uplink to the software. They just beam it down from the satellite. It's amazing.
Beam it to the tractor. Well,
right.
We'll have electric tractors at some point in time.
Well, they have them already.
I don't drive them. Yeah, I know. See that electric truck? There was an electric cab over truck that was revealed last week. I meant to forget to talk to Nick.
I think Ford has a pickup truck that's going to be all electric.
Yes, they do. Yeah, the F-150 electric. Yep, that's coming about. Anyway, so we pay tribute to farmers.
Indigenous Peoples Day, so we should probably also mention that. We're not using the C word today, if you haven't noticed.
No C's. Mm-mm. Okay, one of the best game show hosts of the television era, Tom Kennedy, has passed. How old was he?
93.
So, do you remember... I'm looking at it in my mind.
Before you ask, I have no idea who this is, but he is trending, and he apparently was the host of Name That Tune, Split Second, the nighttime version of The Price is Right, and another show called You Don't Say. He emceed 16 shows overall between 1958 and 87.
There was a group of men, no women, all men, who from the beginning of the game show, which would have been in the 1950s, early 50s, on television continues today. You know, you think about, it depends on your age. Do you watch any of these shows, the ABC lineup? There are actually three or four. Anthony Anderson hosts To Tell the Truth. Alec Baldwin has Match Game. Elizabeth Banks is doing Pressure Luck.
Jane Lynch has the Weakest Link.
Yeah.
And she has Hollywood Game Night. I don't really watch any of these, to be honest, but if I land on one of them, I happen to usually land on one of the Jane Lynch ones.
Yeah.
So, I do, it is kind of funny. I guess it's they're very cheap to produce. It makes sense why all these game shows are back from the dead, but.
The Family Feud. As a syndicated show.
I do watch Family Feud sometimes.
ABC. Yeah, well, Harvey's a likable
guy. Yeah, the Celebrity Family Feud is fun.
But think about all of the people that have done these over the years. Bob Barker, he started his career hosting Truth and Consequences. Monty Hall, All these, well, Barker's still alive, but Marty Hall died a couple of years ago. Certainly we love Alex Trebek. And, you know, you think about some of these other people in the Groucho Marx. You know, do you know who that is?
Sure.
Okay.
Couldn't tell you a whole lot, but I know who he is. He had the mustache, right?
Right. Yeah, he was a comedian, but he also hosted a game show called You Bet Your Life. And that, and there's a, Dick Clark did the $100,000 pyramid.
I always liked, and this is telling my age, but I always really liked Regis hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yes.
That was the first game show that I ever watched. Our whole family was glued to that. Every week that it was on, that was just a favorite of our whole family.
No surprise that when you get down to the number one show, Jeopardy is considered to be the number one. And number two is Wheel of Fortune. And these are both shows that Merv Griffin created. You know who Merv Griffin was?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people don't remember who he is. Art Fleming started Jeopardy, and then Alex took it over, I think, in the 10th year. I knew Art. He was actually a radio guy from St. Louis, and then he managed to get himself into a couple of places that made his career pretty much oriented to game shows. Family Feud is number three on the list. Match Game, Gene Rayburn. Who doesn't remember Gene Rayburn? Does that name ring a bell with you?
No.
The pencil mic that Alec Baldwin holds is a tribute to Gene Rayburn, because that's what he used to have. Price is Right, number five. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, number six on this list. Hollywood Squares. You think about Peter Marshall and some of the characters that were on the original Hollywood. You ever watch that? It was around in the 90s. Whoopi Goldberg in the box. Charlie Weaver, some of these. Paul Lynde, some of these characters.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Password is number eight on the list. Alan Ludden was married to Betty White. He died in 1981. And then Tom Kennedy took over for him. And that was when he first kind of got cranked up. A lot of people want to have What's My Line. Well, I think What's My Line, I know. To Tell the Truth, I think, is that kind of the same thing as What's My Line. Newlywed Game, Chuck Barris. Woolery was the host of one of those as well. But, I mean, you look at
Chuck
all
Woolery
of
Chuck Woolery did The Love Connection, right?
Yes, among others. Yep. So, anyway, does make sense to pay tribute to Tom Kennedy. In a moment, we're going to talk about your teeth here on the DJV program.
Do you think all vitamin C's are the same? They're not. Ester C is a superior form of vitamin C. It's the only vitamin C with 24-hour immune support, and it lasts up to 2 times longer than regular vitamin C. So don't just settle for any vitamin C. Buy Ester C and support your immune health today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to On Air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria.
44 after the hour now in the DJV program. You brushed your teeth already today, I'm expecting, Victoria, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, what about those of you who don't? You say you floss, but do you really? And what are the things that cause, you know, we've talked a lot about this lately with regard to COVID and the stress that's being created. I know that I've related a few incidents about a few circumstances where I had been to the dentist to find out why my front tooth was cracked. And part of that comes from, why am I talking about it? Let's find out from the dentist what the real story is. Kami Haas is here on the board of counselors at the UCLA School of Dentistry, author of the book, If Your Mouth Could Talk. How about them apples? Dr. Haas also has a free ebook, Victoria, the surprising link between oral health and COVID-19. So let's start there, Dr. Haas, with the link between COVID and your oral health. Does that include your gums? Because the gums are very important to our overall health, right?
Yes, I'm so happy you started from there, actually, because I think to many people, dentistry is all about just a cavity or some crooked teeth. But we've known for decades now that oral health really impacts everything from literally conception, you know, fertility and health of pregnancy to longevity and systemic diseases and death and everything in between. So including lung health and including COVID-19, there have been several studies now over the last few months that have shown that if you have, you know, poor gum disease and poor oral health, that can significantly increase the risk of potentially life-threatening COVID-19 complications, which is really not surprising to the dental profession. So I think my message to those people who've been putting off dentistry and thinking we're going to just wait it out after the pandemic is over is really that dental offices are safe and they're going to take great care of you, not only your teeth, but it's such a critical part of your overall health during the pandemic. So please go you know, visit your dentist along with brushing and flossing like you were mentioning earlier.
One of the things that I have, when I went to see my dentist, who is in Los Angeles, you're in Los Angeles too, I think, are you not? Don't you
teach in UCLA? California, San Diego. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, the dentist, when I went into the chair, said, "We're going to do your cleaning and yada yada, but we're not going to polish your teeth because apparently that stuff gets in the air and could collect molecules of COVID." So. People, you know, if they're expecting the same experience when they go to the dentist, you'll get treated well, but you won't get the same kind of treatment because people have to adapt to, I'm guessing the Dental Society says these are kind of suggestions or rules. Is that right, Dr. Haas?
That's correct. As you probably know, the dental profession were experts in infectious diseases, you know, going back to the 1980s with HIV. That's when I went to dental school. And so we've had already some really amazing technologies and protocols in place to make sure that we keep everybody safe, our patients, our doctors, and our staff. And during the COVID, you know, as you probably know, for about 2 months, dental offices were closed, you know, between March and April across the country. And that's the time that we really got together and we investigated and we just added some new technologies and protocols to make sure that we keep everybody safe, even during this pandemic. And we've been open since mid-May across the country. And there's been no evidence of a COVID transmission between any patient and any dental office. So you could probably argue dental office is probably one of the safest indoor places to be.
That's great to know.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people put off dental stuff as soon as there's financial problems or a pandemic or anything like this. And dental care seems to be the first thing that falls off.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate because I think, like you said, you know, dentistry is really not on top of people's list. You know, it's one of those things that
well, because they don't understand how important they weren't taught in school. We're not taught a lot in school anymore. Yeah. Biology 101 connects all of the aspects of the body, including your gums, to your overall health. It's very important.
Yeah, and when you think about it, your mouth is connected to your body, but because, like you said, dental schools and medical schools have been separate, people really have not connected the two, and that's really what caused me to write that book that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So cracked teeth, that's because of stress much as anything else. Do you advise people to go right to the dentist when they realize that they have cracked teeth?
Yeah, I mean, ideally they should be going routinely so that they can, you know, those things can be prevented. But yes, absolutely.
Right.
If you have any pain, tooth sensitivity, swelling, anything like that, or you know, you have pieces of tooth in your mouth, you know, when you're chewing, then obviously you need to go to the dentist really urgently because, you know, anything small will get bigger.
Don't
just pause because there's a pandemic. So I really encourage everybody to go to the dentist routinely.
Website, Dr. Kami Haas, KamiHoss.com. The book is If Your Mouth Could Talk. How about that? 10 before the hour.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 833-8-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
You may meet in an office or on a video chat. Your commute might now be measured in feet, not miles. How you do business may have changed, but Staples will always have everything you need, like ink and toner, webcams, and networking accessories. Right now, earn 40% back in rewards when you buy any two ink or toner cartridges. Shop in-store, online, or pick up curbside. And save big at Staples. Ends 10/17. While supplies last, exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/40in rewards. Curbside available in most stores.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Remember, I'm guessing you probably won't remember this theme, but it was from a popular movie that didn't get a lot of respect at first, but then I remember us talking about this a couple of years ago when it came out, The Greatest Show on Earth. It had legs. Remember, Chucker? It started...
Greatest Showman.
Not,
yeah.
You know, The Greatest Showman, excuse me. It didn't start really strong, but it kept
right. It did not open big, but one of the rare films in this current climate of, you know, if it doesn't open, it closes. It did garner good word of mouth and wound up doing about $150 million domestically at the box office. I think it only had like a $6 or $7 million opening weekend, but I remember going to see it. I thought it would be a more hard-hitting biopic on P.D. Barnum, but it wasn't what it was. It was a very entertaining musical, and I went to see it a second time, and it really hooked me, grew on me, and it's one of those movies that has immense repeatability, and it's a big fan favorite. A good guy, Hugh Jackman, whose birthday today, I believe he's 53 years old, really hit big playing the character of Wolverine in those superhero films, the X-Men movies, and those standalone movies. He did a movie called Logan where he played Wolverine, which was a more darker, more serious R-rated interpretation directed by a guy named James Mangold, who's going to supposedly direct the next Indiana Jones movie. That, I thought, was excellent, one of the best that genre has to offer. But I'm a fan. I like Hugh Jackman.
Hasn't he played a whole bunch of different characters? He doesn't seem to be typecast at all. It seems there's a wide variety.
It's interesting. When he first started in the industry, I sort of said, this guy's like a poor man's Mel Gibson. But I guess I was wrong.
You were wrong.
You know, I was wrong.
He has an incredible singing voice. He's done Broadway. Yeah. He's done Oscar-nominated films.
And he was really good. He was really good at when they let him host the Oscars. I thought he did a really
very
nice
good
job.
Very good.
Yeah. All right. So, is there going to be a movie about
James Franco? What?
What did you say about James Franco?
I said he did a better job than James Franco.
Oh,
that was a disaster.
Yeah, let's keep.
That might have been the worst.
Yeah, it might have been. The idea of a movie about COVID, even though there have been movies before about these sorts of things. There's always room for one more disaster movie, right? Somebody's got to
bring it on.
Yeah,
I love disaster. You know, it's my favorite genre. You know that.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. So who would be the ideal cast? Think about the ideal cast members. It would be in a disaster movie these days. Got to have The Rock.
You have to have The Rock.
Yeah, got to have The Rock.
The Rock could just beat up COVID.
Right. Hasn't his visibility, you talk about actors and stars and stuff, his visibility.
You know, I have this running joke with a friend. When The Towering Inferno came out in 1974, Steve McQueen played the fire chief. He actually put the fire out. And when Dwayne Johnson did Skyscraper, he beat the hell out of the building. I like Dwayne Johnson a lot, but they should ground him a little bit more in reality in some of these.
Well, but it's all what people were going to see as much as anything else.
Baywatch was very grounded in reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Baywatch, that was fabulous.
I do like San Andreas. San Andreas we're veering into different topics. I like this. San Andreas is my favorite Dwayne Johnson movie. I like that movie a lot.
I like the woman that played his wife. She's been around, I can't remember her name, but it's an Italian name, but she's been good at playing that sort of a role, but she was real.
Yeah, she's been in like three movies with him. Yeah, I like her a lot.
Yeah, there's, she was on a Cinemax show. She played a tough cookie, woman, but it was really the way it wasn't the usual stuff. Bradley Cooper is doing his part to help people who live in Pennsylvania. He's from Pennsylvania. With the election, and I wonder how many more stars, actors, movie stars are going to go out and get people to register to vote, Tucker.
I will say one thing. Some of them do it, but I was thinking about this the other day. There's a lot of big celebrity names that have just completely hid from discussing anything political. I mean, even names like Oprah Winfrey, you don't hear anything about these people because they don't want to hurt their careers or their cash cow revenue by talking politics.
Right.
They just don't. It's a very divisive time, so they don't want to get involved.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But his PSA is how to properly navigate those ballots,
which are
very confusing in Pennsylvania. It's the double envelope and the naked ballot and the whole thing. So
what do we have for box office totals this weekend, Shocker? Anything surprising?
The War with Grandpa did open wide, like 2,200 screens. Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, Uma Thurman. Did $3.5 million, which is very respectable. A lot of that business at drive-ins.
Yeah. I want to go see. I actually do want to go to movies this week. I feel like it's time to go. I've only been once.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.